Well, I'm going to give you a quick update on Jackie. I know you all want to know how she's doing. For those of you who don't know, she had a stroke 21 years ago, but she has done fantastic. We've traveled 100 countries since the stroke, and we haven't relinquished one bit. We've just kept going. Well, then in 2018, late 2018, she was diagnosed. In the beginning of 2019, she was diagnosed with myasthenia gravis, which is an autoimmune disease. It affects the breathing and muscles of the body. Different parts of the body affects the heart and so on and so forth. So in May of last year, she was on Mother's Day, she was hospitalized into the ICU, and she was on a ventilator for 9 days, point of death. And since then, we have been continuing, of course, before that, but we've been standing in faith and believing for her complete recovery and healing. And I'd like to give you an update. One of the instruments we use at home is called a spirometer, where you have to do a breathing exercise through it and see how much capacity you can get into your lungs. And you might have heard me tell you that if you and I had a pull in this machine and really pull hard, you may get 5,000. I did this exercise yesterday or the day before. I got 3,500. So, and that is a real pull, and it's as hard as I can get. Well, Jackie was around 400. 250, 300, 400. Whenever she got a 500 on this thing, it was like a big thing. We were just really, really excited because she was moving forward. We began to believe God that 500 would be the base. And then we began to believe God there'd be greater numbers and greater numbers and greater numbers. Well, I'm here to tell you, in the last 2 weeks, she has hit 1,000 on a regular basis. In fact, if she hits 500 now, she's really disappointed. It is no longer the roof or the ceiling. It is now the floor. It is a base. It's a really, if you get 500, she says, let me do it again. I'm not happy with the 500. But 1,000, 900, 950, 850s, 750s is where she's at right now. So everybody's shouting out to Jackie. Good job, Jackie. Woo-hoo! All right. I know she's watching back home right now, and she wanted to be here. She asked if she could come. And I said, no, you're not ready to go yet. She used to get out of bed. We used to sit on the side of the bed. And if she could sit on the side of the bed for 5 minutes, it was a lot. And I'm talking about she'd sit on the side of the bed and she'd shake like this because her body was so weak, she couldn't sit on the side of the bed. Now, she's out of bed for 4.5 hours every day. Every day. She has all her meals out of her bed. Every meal, breakfast and dinner, out of her bed, sitting in the chair right next to me. And every lunchtime, we're out on the balcony, look at the beautiful flowers, having lunch on the balcony. I'm going to tell you something. Faith works. Don't quit. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter how bad things go. People, if you don't have faith, what do you have? What do you have? Amen? If you can't believe God, you realize you have to believe the media. Did I say that out loud? Okay. Seems like a joke because everybody's laughing at it, but it's the truth, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Well, today, of course, is Pentecost Sunday, and my sermon title today is The Promise of Presence and Power. The Promise of Presence and Power. And we all know from Scripture what Pentecost means. It's Penti means 5 or 50, and it is the Feast of Pentecost that occurred in Israel, in Jerusalem, 50 days after Passover. Passover is where we celebrate Easter, where Jesus died, and then 50 days later is Pentecost. Remember, he remained on earth for 40 days before he ascended to heaven, so Pentecost was 10 days after his ascension, and there was 120 people in the upper room because Jesus had told them to go and wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In that 120 people were his 11 disciples plus many other followers, including his mother. So I just want to reach out to the beautiful Catholics and let them know that Mother Mary was in the upper room when the Holy Spirit fell, and she is a tongue talker. She got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues right there with the rest of the people. Amen? So, she's a good one to follow. Amen? All right, so, What happened, there was a sound, a mighty sound, like a rushing mighty wind, and it came and filled the building, and then there was the tongues of fire that settled on everybody's head, and they saw this, and then they all began speaking in a language they had never learned. They began speaking in what the scripture calls other tongues. That was what happened on that particular day. Now, this morning what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, and there's some very, very interesting things and very important things that he said. Now, I could, if you would give me 10 hours, since you all shut in anyway, right? I would, and I'm able to give you scripture to verify and to support every single point I'm going to make today. If you attend our Bible college, you will go through 10 lessons on the Holy Spirit, and then we'll not exhaust the subject. So please understand that I'm going to just skim the surface since I have a very short time with you. And I do understand that there are people here that have received the Holy Spirit, know a lot about the Holy Spirit, and there's some people who don't know too much about the Holy Spirit and what he does. And there's people listening to me today. You're in the same predicament. So I'm going to do my best to try and cover both ends of the spectrum. Some important things Jesus said. I want to ask you this. If you knew that, A, you were either leaving and never going to see somebody again, or they were leaving and you'd never see them again, whether it was they were going overseas or whether they were dying or whether you were dying, do you think that the last words you spoke would be important and weighty? Huh? You wouldn't ask what the score was. You wouldn't be asking silly things like what the weather is. You'd be saying something from your heart that is critically important to you and to the person you're talking to. So what is the last thing Jesus said to the 11 disciples, 11 now, because remember Judas is no longer with them. What is the last thing he said to them before he ascended to heaven? He told them to go to Jerusalem. And he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait until you receive the Holy Spirit, until you get endued with power, and do not do any ministry until you receive the Holy Spirit and receive that power. Then you can go and be witnesses. So this is what he told them. Obviously, it's very important if Jesus said, this is the thing you need to do, the last instruction before he left. He said to them, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you are going to receive power. He said, you're going to receive power. So he promised them power. And that's my sermon title, The Promise of Presence and Power. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, this is what Jesus said. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So one of the evidences of having received the Holy Spirit, and there are many, such as love and so on and so forth, one of them is power. One of them. And this is the one Jesus recognized. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Around the same time, now before he was crucified, he knew he was leaving. He knew his ascension was about to happen and he was leaving them. And he made a statement to them that shocked them to their core. Remember, they loved Jesus. They had walked and talked and lived with him for 3 years. They'd eaten, they'd seen the miracles, walking on water, opening blind eyes, casting out demons, lepers, I mean, being healed. All of these things they'd seen. And then Jesus turns around and says to them, it's better for you that I go away. What? Yeah, it's better for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. This is what he says to them. Look at the scriptures found in John 16 and verse 7. But in fact, it is best for you. It's to your advantage. It is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Advocate, everybody say Advocate. The Advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you, not it. It is not, he is a person, personal pronoun. So we don't refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Jesus said, he will come. referring to the Holy Spirit. And he told them, it is better for you that I go away. How is it possible that it could be better for them that Jesus left them, what they thought, alone and go to heaven? Because Jesus knew that he is promising them presence when the Holy Spirit comes. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, the Father and I will come and dwell in you. And it's going to happen by the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Jesus was limited to one place at one time. He had a physical body. The Holy Spirit is not limited. He can be everywhere at the same time. Everywhere at the same time. And that's the difference. All of us individually can have the fullness and the presence of God with us, no matter how many billion people there are on the face of the earth. So we never have to pray the prayer, Jesus, if you'd only show up and talk with me. He is right now in the right hand of the Father, seated at the throne. But the Holy Spirit is with you, and he can talk with you and show you. This word advocate that is used here, some scriptures would use the word comforter, counselor, and they're all correct. If you look it up in the Greek, it's all correct. The word advocate also means, an Amplified Bible explains this, comforter, counselor, helper, standby, intercessor, and so on, are all words referring to the function of the Holy Spirit or roles that the Holy Spirit will play in the believer's life. When Jackie had the stroke back in 1999, we were down at the Green Hospital, Scripps La Jolla, and she had just got out of ICU, and she couldn't speak. In fact, she could only say one word, which is the Afrikaans word for yes, which was ja. That's the only thing she could say. And she was on, feeding through the nose and IVs and all kinds of stuff to sustain her. She was, at that point, she couldn't eat. Let me not go into the details. Anyway, it was a very difficult time. And I was with her constantly until late in the night and early in the morning. And one of the things that was happening is that the doctors would keep on waking her up to test her neurologically. And I said to the doctors, listen, she has to rest. She's got to sleep because you're going to kill her. Yeah. People have got to rest. And what had happened is that they had just set her up on the side of the bed, and then they had laid her down. And that was as much exercise as she could do, and she fell asleep. And I went and sat outside the door, which was what I usually do, close the door, and I put a big sign on there, do not disturb. Well, we had been 15 minutes, and she was been asleep 15 minutes, when here comes a nurse, I guess technically wasn't a nurse, but he was coming to draw blood, and he was in his white coat, and he was coming along, and he went to knock on the door, and I stepped up and said, please don't do that. She's just gone to sleep. I don't want you to disturb her and to draw blood from her, and because a very painful thing for her, she had small veins and rolling veins, very painful to get in. And he said, no, I've got to do it. This is the shift time I've got to do. I said, no, you don't have to do it. Come back in an hour, hour and a half. Come back at the end of your shift, and she'll be ready for you. And he said, no. He said, this is the time I've got to do it. So I got up between him and the door, and I said, listen. I said, I just want to tell you something. She's resting, and you can't come back. Because if you don't, you're going to be the only one giving blood today. Now, just to let you know, I have 2 black belts in martial arts, and I could absolutely have drawn blood from him in a heartbeat. I didn't want to get violent. I said, please, back off. And he looked down his list, and he said, oh, yeah, it's not her. I've got to see another patient. I said, whatever, make yourself happy. And as I went back to my seat, I heard these words, you're being an advocate to her. You're standing in the gap. You're counseling. You're comforting. Where she cannot defend herself, you are standing in the gap defending her. And that's exactly, the Holy Spirit said, that's exactly what I do for the church, for the body of Christ. I'm their advocate. I step in and stand in the gap. I want you to write something down. Write this down. Satan is the accuser. Satan is the accuser. But the Holy Spirit is the counsel for the defense. Advocate. Satan is the accuser, but the Holy Spirit is the counsel for the defense. Jesus said the Holy Spirit was going to be in us and on us. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to teach you all things. Again, I can show you scripture for this. Here's a remarkable thing Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He said, you can sin against me, and you can sin against the Father, and you'll be forgiven. But if you sin against the Holy Spirit, you'll not be forgiven. Jesus elevated the Holy Spirit above the Father and himself when it comes to sin. It's a sin we know as the unpardonable sin. And many people think, what is the unpardonable sin? Have I committed the unpardonable sin? Well, I can tell you now, if you're thinking about have I committed the unpardonable sin, chances are you haven't. Because you'd have a seared conscience, you wouldn't be concerned about sin at all. But remember this, any sin you commit against Jesus the Father can be forgiven. But if you sin against the Holy Spirit, it won't be forgiven. That says a lot about who the Holy Spirit is in the eyes of the Father and of Jesus. Then Jesus said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He's going to guide you and show you things to come. Now this scripture I want to show you, it's in John 16 verse 13. Jesus said, but when he, again talking about the Holy Spirit, he, personal pronoun, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. Say that with me. He will guide me. So the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into all the truth. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Yet to come. The Holy Spirit will show you the future. You don't have to be a prophet. You just have to receive the Holy Spirit, and he will show you the future concerning you. I've worked from home for most of my life, especially being in ministry, and Jackie used to go off to the office. She ran the church office, and all the staff. And so it was back in South Africa in Welkom. We had our home in a place called Virginia, and we said goodbye one morning. Jackie was on her way to work. 1986, I think it was. Now, between where we lived in the little town of Virginia and Welkom, it was about, I guess, a 10, 15-mile journey. And the roads were very narrow. Traffic used to go both ways on the same road. All right? Both ways. So there's a line in the middle. It's either solid white or it's dotted. So, you know, whether you can take or not, you overtake or not, you know the rules. Anyway, but the roads were really bad. And on the side were soft shoulders with potholes, big holes, unkept bushes and grass and everything else. Africa. All right, you get the picture. All right, get the picture. We were excited to actually have a hard surface. Jackie's on the way to work. She just left me. She hadn't been gone literally 3 to 5 minutes when I suddenly got an urge to pray. I was going to pray anyway. It was my time to pray when she left. I was in my office. I got this urge to pray. But the urge became very strong, and I went down on my knees, became weak, actually became nauseous. The desire to pray was so strong, and I put my head down between my knees, and I began to pray. And since I was filled with the Holy Spirit, could pray in the Spirit, I began to pray in my heavenly prayer language. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I was sweating. I was praying so hard, and was an intense prayer. And after about 30 minutes, the tension left, the whole thing, and I was literally lying on the floor. I was so weak and drained out. I gathered myself, got back up into my chair. I waited for a few minutes, and I phoned the office. I felt that something was wrong with Jackie, and I phoned the office, and I said, Jackie, are you okay? And she said, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, try me. I think I will. She said I hadn't left home shortly after leaving home. Had just got onto the main road, and I was behind a very slow-moving truck. There's a lot of mine trucks, you know, that carry stuff, and there was this large 18-wheeler truck and trailer, and she was stuck behind it, and she decided she wanted to overtake the truck, and she looked, the road was clear, so she moved over, and she started to accelerate. Well, what she didn't realize was there was a little dip in the road, just a little dip, just a little wave. Deep enough to hide a car that she didn't see. And she was now alongside the 18-wheeler. When they came out, this dip opened up and there was a car right in front of her. There was no way she could go left into the truck, and no way she could go right, because going right would be into the potholes and soft and in bushes, it would be over. She was going to have a head-on collision when suddenly she was in front of the 18-wheeler. It was just that quick. She thought she was dead when suddenly her vehicle was in front of the 18-wheeler. So what happened? I'll tell you what I believe happened. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. That's your prerogative. It's your prerogative. You can believe what you want to. It doesn't really matter. She's alive. I believe just as Stephen was translated to Azotus after baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip. I believe that's what happened to her. I believe she was transported. Something supernaturally happened to put her in front. I believe the Holy Spirit showed me to pray. I didn't know what I was praying, but I knew I had to pray. It was urgent, and Jackie's life was spared. That's what I believe, okay? So I'm a happy camper because I believe what I believe. I'll tell you another story. We had just left for church Sunday night. We had a babysitter sitting with Hayne and Cindy, and we hadn't gone very far, maybe 15 minutes towards church, and when Jackie got this sensation something was wrong with Cindy back at home. She said, I'm just so unhappy. Something is wrong with Cindy. We turned around, we went back, and we got there just in time to stop a neighbor boy who had come over to visit and was trying to sexually molest her and was prevented. Why am I sharing these stories with you? Because you see, many tragedies happen in life, and we say, where was God? How come God didn't prevent it? What I'm trying to tell you is this. If you receive the Holy Spirit in His fullness into your life, God can speak to you and many tragedies can be averted. Things can be prevented. I spoke last week about Christina sitting right here, how that she had pulled up at the traffic light and it was 3 o'clock in the morning on her way to work. Works at Fox News, Channel 5. 5 o'clock. Plug, plug. Everybody, we love Fox News. Yay! Because we love Christina. All right. Anyway, and she was told, don't go through the light turn green. Don't go. And she hung back. And just then, an 18-wheeler came flying through the red light and would have killed her, 50, 60 miles an hour, because she heard the Holy Spirit tell her, don't do it. Just don't do it. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. All right? Let me tell you one more story. Is it okay? Well, maybe it's not the last. We'll see. Thanks, Cheryl. Anyway, we were doing our first construction in our first new building. We'd got a warehouse, and we were having to do demo work. How many love demo work? Doesn't it get stuff out of you? Don't it? You're just like breaking things, just breaking things. Just don't draw faces on them and then break it, because it's an indication that you need forgiveness. Anyway, we were cutting through some concrete. We had a concrete saw. We were cutting it through, and a very powerful tool, and I got this uneasiness, danger. Of course, I'm looking at it. I wasn't using the tool. My other pastor was using this powerful tool, cutting it through, and I said, John, stop. I said, listen, man, we got to be very careful. I have a sense by the Holy Spirit that there's tremendous danger. So we continued, but the feeling grew inside of me that there was danger, serious danger, and I began to get that, I got to pray. And I don't know why this happens to me, but when it gets that serious, I begin to sweat and get a little nauseous. And so I just went and found a place to sit down. I began to shake a little. I was weak. I sat down. I began to pray, and it got worse. And I just prayed, and it got worse. And because, again, praying the Holy Spirit, I was praying in tongues because, you see, I didn't know what to pray for as I ought. I didn't know what the problem was. But the Holy Spirit was telling me, pray, just pray. And I'm praying, and I'm praying, and I'm praying. Half an hour approximately. And the feeling lifts, and I can breathe properly. The nausea is gone, the whole thing. And just I'm sitting there. I'm just wore out. 15 minutes later, a lady from the church comes running into the building. She says, Pastor Jackie has been in a car accident, but she's okay. So let me tell you what happened. The same road between where we live. You know how many people died on that road? We lost congregation people on that road, died on that road. I mean, it's a very, very dangerous road. So she's driving home from work. She comes over a little bridge, the train goes under the bridge, and when she gets to the top, again, there's trucks because it's a mining area, okay? So there's trucks. So she decides she wants to overtake the truck. She looks over there. She's up in the high crest. She can see clearly, not a problem. She overtakes and she starts to accelerate. She's going well down. She pulls back in front of the truck. She's now doing it at good speed, and she sees another truck in front of her. The unfortunate part about the truck in front of her was standing still. And what happened, there was mud on the back of the lights, so she couldn't see that the lights were on or that there was an indicator going. So she thought, well, it's standing still, and I'm traveling at quite a rate. I can get past this truck. So she moved over to go past the truck to accelerate, and she saw a person driving on a little scooter. And, you know, what we would call a little buzz bike, a 50cc little, I mean, what do you call it? A little moped-type scooter thing coming in the opposite direction. And that's why the truck was waiting, because it wanted to turn off the road, and it was waiting for this person to go past. Jackie didn't see them in the distance, but when she pulled over at that speed, she saw this person, and she knew she would kill them at this speed, there's no doubt. So she decided to pull back and go under the truck, hit the back of the truck. And she put on the brakes, and she went into the back of the truck. When they pulled her out, all she had was a bruised knee. But I'm going to show you, if you dim the lights, I've got some pictures I want to show you of what this vehicle looked like. That went right through the windscreen, completely destroyed. Just the next one. You can see how that thing just mashed up. And one more. She's hanging her head because she felt that she was responsible. Right, girl? Aren't you glad you married a praying man, huh? And a man who carries insurance, too. All right. Thank you. So, there's no doubt in my mind that she should have been dead on both those occasions. No doubt. What saved her was the Holy Spirit showing me something to come. He didn't give me absolute details of what it was, but I was able to pray and to believe God and protect her life. Amen? That's what happened. All right. So, let me show you one more thing that I've got a few more things I want to show you. Interesting facts about the Holy Spirit. Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit when he came out of the water. After his water baptism, he came up out of the water. That's when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now remember this. John the Baptist was preaching, repent and be baptized. Remember that? Repent and be baptized. That is what he was teaching. And the Bible says in the Gospel of Mark that is where the gospel started. The gospel started with John the Baptist, not with Jesus. That's where it started. So he was preaching, repent and be baptized. Every single person in the entire Bible that was ever baptized was an adult. There's not a single case recorded where a child was baptized in water. They were adults. Now here's another interesting fact. Jesus never did one miracle until he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Never did one. He was always the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was always Jesus, the Son of God, always. But it wasn't until he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that he began his life of miracles. Another interesting fact, the Holy Spirit was involved in the creation of all things in the earth. If you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Holy Spirit was hovering on the earth. Then the Father and Jesus spoke, and the Holy Spirit did a move. And when the Holy Spirit did the move, things were created. So he was involved in the creation. Do you know that the entire Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit? There's not a word written in this Bible that didn't come from the Holy Spirit. The Bible clearly tells us that holy men of old wrote as they were inspired or moved by the Holy Spirit. And also Peter in the New Testament confirms that is how it happened. Now, I want you to write something down here. Because if you grasp this, it's gonna shake your theology. God's ultimate purpose and promise was his presence in us. It wasn't heaven. People have an idea that God saved us in order to take us to heaven. Well, heaven is a byproduct, but that's not the reason God saved us. God saved us so that he could come and live in us. I'm going to give you the scripture. It's found in Galatians 3 and verse 14. He redeemed us in order that. In order that means for this purpose. He redeemed us for this purpose. He redeemed us in order that the blessing. Everybody say the blessing. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So the blessing that God gave Abraham comes to the Gentiles. We were redeemed through Jesus Christ in order that we might have that blessing. And if you don't know what the blessing is, some people might think, well, surely that was salvation. Surely that's heaven. And on both those accounts, you'd be wrong. The blessing was the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you from Scripture. Let's keep reading. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. Come through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus wasn't the blessing. The blessing was to come through Christ Jesus. Are you reading? Are you following me? Okay. Come through Christ Jesus so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And it's not automatic. It's by faith. So what did he say? What did he say? We were redeemed, salvation through Jesus, so that the blessing given to Abraham might come to us, the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. God's ultimate plan and purpose was his presence through the Holy Spirit in us. Always has been. Always has been. But we couldn't receive the Holy Spirit unless we received through Jesus, which meant we had to be redeemed. We had to be born again, made the righteous of God. Then we can receive the Holy Spirit. That's what Scripture says. So we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, one of the great things that I love about the Holy Spirit, this is one of the most important things, I mean, of all the amazing things about the Holy Spirit, this particular fact of the Holy Spirit really, really helps me tremendously, is that he reveals to us what we have inherited in Christ. Read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Look up at me. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, no ears ever heard and no eyes ever seen, hasn't ever entered the mind of man, things that God has prepared for us. So we can't know these things because no eye has seen, no ears heard, hasn't entered the mind. Have you heard people say that? We are like in the dark. We see through a glass darkly. One day we'll know the mysteries of God, but right now these things are hidden from us. Well, that's not what the Scripture says. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says clearly, no eye has seen, no ears heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for them. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals to you those things that no human eye has seen, no human ear has heard, no human mind has ever conceived, but the Spirit of God reveals it to you into your spirit, man. I pray this every day. I pray this prayer every day. I pray, Holy Spirit, I need your revelation and your wisdom. I said, Holy Spirit, I read the Bible and I don't understand it. If I don't understand it, where does it leave you? No, I'm serious. I prayed this. I said, Lord, help me. I read this and I couldn't have just written in English. It is English. That I would understand what they're saying. Holy Spirit, help me. to understand. Give me the revelation of the inheritance. So, the Holy Spirit, the things of God are revealed to us by Spirit. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. God does not want you walking in the dark. God wants you to know those things that have been freely given to you. That's why he's given you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power and the ability of God in us. He leads and he guides us. In fact, if you are a child of God, according to Romans 8:14, then you are going to be led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is the one who enables us to pray the perfect will of God when you don't know what to pray about. He is the one who's going to enable you to worship in spirit and truth. It is clear that the purpose the Holy Spirit was given has not changed. Can I have an amen? It hasn't changed. So for somebody to come along and say, well, we don't no longer need tongues, just take that out because things have changed. Well, what about the other 50 things I've just given you today? Even if tongues was to go away, even if tongues weren't there, well, then I wouldn't know how to pray to save Jackie's life at least twice. Okay? So I don't see it. See, write this down. Only Christians can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Only Christians can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He is a gift. He is not a reward. He is a gift. He's not a reward. It's very important you understand that. Rewards will be given when you get to heaven. That's when rewards will be given. Some people think, well, I've given some money and it's going to be given to me. I've got a great reward. No, no, no. Your return from your giving is not a reward. Your return from giving is because you set in motion a principle that God gave you that if you used, you would get a return. It's not a reward. It's simply using a principle. Understand? Your rewards will be given to you when you get to heaven. The Holy Spirit is not given to you because you are worthy or because you earned his presence. He's given as a gift. Given as a gift. But you have to be a Christian in order to receive. In Acts 8:14, Philip the evangelist had just gone to Samaria, conducted a citywide crusade. Thousands of people had come to Christ. They got baptized. Demons had cast out. People had been healed. It was a fantastic revival that swept Samaria. Only one thing is, nobody there received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nobody in the whole revival began speaking other tongues. So, verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word, number one, they had received the word about Jesus and the gospel, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. Holy Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they received the word, they believed on Jesus, and then they were baptized in the name of Jesus. But nobody was speaking in tongues. If it wasn't important, why would Peter and John have to go all the way down to Samaria to go and minister to them? Why not just leave them and say, well, God in his own good time will do it if it's necessary? Why did they make a fuss about it? So they made a fuss about it. They went down, and verse 17 said, then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So obviously, not everyone receives the Holy Spirit at the time of their salvation. Obviously, not everybody receives at their conversion. It is clear from here that the apostles had to go and lay hands on these people who were already saved and baptized in water, and then when they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you know they received the Holy Spirit? There had to be some outward evidence. In fact, there was, because there was a sorcerer following this group around. And he saw the evidence and he said, I'll pay you. Give me the power so that I can lay hands. There was that evidence. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, when they laid hands on people, they started speaking in tongues. Because that is what happened every other time someone received the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And he found some disciples. Say disciples. So these were not newbies. They've been around. These are not baby Christians. These are disciples. Hard following disciples, passionate believers, right? He said to these disciples, he asked them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Well, listen, Paul. Everybody receives the Holy Spirit when you believe. That's a stupid question. That's a rhetorical question, Paul. You shouldn't even ask us that question because obviously we are disciples. And surely when we believed, we received the Holy Spirit. Well, poor old Paul didn't know that. He wrote 2/3 of the Bible and he's that dumb. That he's asking such irrelevant questions. And Paul, why would the first question you ask these disciples, have you received the Holy Spirit? Why is it top of the agenda? Why is it that important that you want to get these people full of the Holy Spirit? Obviously, it's more important than we think. Was that important to Paul? And of course, they said we hadn't heard. Will there be such a Holy Spirit? Haven't heard? He laid hands upon them and they all received. Now, let me finish up. To become a Christian, we know we have to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. To be converted from unbelieving to believer, to call it a believer, you have to ask Jesus to be your Lord. You have to ask him to be your Savior, right? To become your Redeemer. You have to repent and believe, just like John the Baptist said. And so did Jesus say. So, we have to receive Jesus in order to be born again, to become a child of God. Here is a scripture that you might want to remember. It's John 1 and verse 12. It said, yet to all, everybody say all, who received him, who received Jesus, to them who believed in his name. So if you didn't understand what it means to receive Jesus, it's when you believe in his name. You believe on Jesus, the Son of God. He gave the right to become children of God. Now let me read the whole scripture. So to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Well, what were you before you received the right to become a child of God? You weren't a child of God. It's that simple. You were an unbeliever. You were unsaved. You are not a child of God. You see, just because you are born a human being doesn't make you a child of God. I've heard it so many times, are we all children of God? No, we're not. No, we're not. I can tell by the way some people act that they're not. Just as we received Jesus to become a child of God, so we have to receive the Holy Spirit in order to become filled with the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit. My last scripture, John 20 and 21. This is Jesus about to leave the earth. Jesus says to his disciples, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Two different times, Jesus said to them, to his disciples, it's critically important you receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going to breathe on you, and I'm going to say, receive the Holy Spirit. Then I'm going to say, go to Jerusalem and wait till you get endued with power on high. So, Jesus prayed for his disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. Peter and John went down to Samaria and prayed for the new believers to receive the Holy Spirit because they had received Christ and been baptized in water. And Paul prayed for the Ephesian disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. It is obvious to me that we need to pray for people after they've become Christians to receive the Holy Spirit. It's obvious. Amen? All right. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to pray two prayers. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to ask you, if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to pray the prayer that you receive Jesus right now, whether you're listening, whether you're watching on live stream, or whether you're sitting in the audience. And then we're going to pray that you receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? In that order. So pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I come to you today knowing that I need Jesus as my Savior. I know about Jesus, but I've never received him as my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, I repent of my sin, and I choose to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And right now, I receive you. I believe on your name, and I thank you that you're saving me right now and making me a child of God. Dear Father, Thank you that I can call you Father because I'm your child. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And now that I'm a child of God, I receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I recognize you as a gift from Jesus, and I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to fill me with your presence. In the name of Jesus, I believe, I receive right now in Jesus' name. Now, wherever you are, I want you to do something with your eyes closed. I just want you to raise your hands a little bit to the Lord. It might be strange. I want you to take in a deep breath. And I want you to pray and see what comes out. Would you pray with me? I want you to pray in a heavenly language now because I believe you have received. Begin to pray. It might be a little whisper. It might come rushing. But just pray. Give the Lord a chance right now as He fills you like He did the disciples in the very beginning, like they did in Samaria, like they did in Ephesus. Just pray with me right now. Say thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming into my life. I will follow you all the days of my life. Speak clearly to me. Guide me in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look up at me. All right, that was weird because I'm praying for people through the internet to receive the Holy Spirit. First time for me to do that. Please let me know if you receive. That would be awesome. I trust God that you received the word and that you were touched today. It's Pentecost Sunday. Now we're going to break bread. We have communion in a really different way today. We're not going to pass the plates between everybody, but we are going to pass the plates somehow. We're going to do it. Each of the communion cups and wafers are in a sealed unit, all right? So that you can take one out and then you can peel it open. And so nobody has touched the inside except you. We're trying to be as conscious of the issues as we possibly can. So please don't pass the trays. Just reach out to them with the trays. Just reach out with the tray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lucia. I have one too, see? Thank you. Thank you so much. I could spill this all over my new white t-shirt. All right. You can tell this is a first. How do you get to that little wafer inside there? Okay. And in the solemn moment, it's very, very relaxed. Yeah, I finally got it open. Thank you. Thank you. This is why we need the Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom how to get these things open. All right. Okay, so we're going to partake today and we're going to have to believe God for this imitation blotting paper. I'm serious inside, God. I am. I promise you, I'm serious inside. Huh. Okay. I promise you it's tasteless. I can't pray this is His body. I'm struggling with this. Lord, we thank you from our hearts, deep in our hearts, that you broke your body for us and that through your broken body, we received healing, deliverance in Jesus' name. Go ahead and partake. Lord, as we partake of the cup, we thank you that your return is imminent. And in my heart, We have never been closer than we are today. We are so close to your return. And we do this in your remembrance. We thank you for your shed blood and the covenant. And through this redemption, you gave us your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor Lindsay, come on up and give us the Children's Church Ministry. Give her a nice round of applause. Thank you so much.
Well, good morning. I have a really big crowd of very grown-up kids this morning. Good morning, Promise Kids, if you're at home. Well, it is Pentecost Sunday. I wasn't in the service, but I have a feeling that we are going to be doing very similar stories once again. So our memory verse today is Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and it says, I shall receive, I personalize it with the kids, I shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me. So we're going to talk about that very first Pentecost Sunday. And kids, if you remember, Jesus had been crucified, and after 3 days he'd been raised from the dead. And then he spent 40 days walking around on the earth, appearing to his disciples in different ways. Sometimes he'd walk through the walls and they'd find him in the room. Other times, when they got off their boats, he'd made them breakfast on the beach. And sometimes he appeared to 500 people all at once. But one day he took his disciples, his closest disciples, and he said, let's go and have a picnic on the Mount of Olives. And while he was there, he reminded them about the Holy Spirit that he had told them about so many times before. And he said, I'm going back to my Father now. Today's the day. But when I leave, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit that had been promised to us so long ago. Well, as they were watching, the next thing they saw, Jesus was taken up into the clouds, and two angels stood beside them and said, what are you standing here? Go and do as he said. Go and wait in Jerusalem. He wants to send you the Holy Spirit. So off they went, and they found a house where they had met many times before, and went upstairs to the room at the top, which they used to call the upper room. Somehow I have a feeling they may even have had the Last Supper there. But it was a room where the 12 of them gathered. But soon word got out that the disciples were there, and there were knocks at the door. And there was Mary, Jesus' mom. I'm coming to wait too, she said. And soon the room was filled with 120 people. They were jam-packed in the room. And they waited. And they waited. And they waited. And 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus had risen from the dead, as they were in the room praying together, there was a sound of a gale force wind. It wasn't a gentle breeze, kids. It was a loud, rushing wind where they put their hands over their ears. The wind had come from heaven. And while they were still closing their ears, trying to figure out where this wind had come from, all of a sudden, wildfire broke out in that room. There were flames of fire, and it settled on each of their heads. As they were trying to figure out what this was all about, something else happened that was just as strange. Out of their bellies, they started speaking in languages that they had never, ever heard before. And that wasn't quiet, guys. They were praying and speaking so loud that the people in Jerusalem heard what was going on in that place. And they all came to see what was going on. Finally, the disciples, who had been kind of scary cats. If you remember, Peter was so scared, he'd actually denied he knew Jesus. They came down the stairs out of that upper room, and there was a crowd standing there. Peter looked at them. They were still speaking rather boldly and loudly in tongues. And so the crowd started nudging each other. They drunk. And Peter looked at them and said, Oh, no, no, no. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We are not drunk. This is the Holy Spirit that Jesus told us about. This is the Spirit He promised He would send us. And I want to tell you guys that you crucified the Son of Glory. That's who was on that cross. And He opened up, and with all boldness, in fact, He was as bold as a lion, He began to preach to this crowd and tell them that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus was the Savior, and that they needed to repent. And right there and then, hands went up all over, and they said, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter led 3,000 people to the Lord that day. 3,000 people bowed their knee and said, "Jesus be Lord." But he didn't stop there. Those disciples left there that day with that same dunamis power that the Holy Spirit had anointed Jesus with. The same dunamis power that Jesus had done miracles with was now inside these disciples. And they left with such boldness and began to preach. They began to heal, and they began to cast out demons everywhere they went. In fact, they even raised the dead. But it all started on the day that the Holy Spirit came to dwell in them and gave them amazing boldness. I want to tell you, kids, the Holy Spirit is for kids too. It's the promise for every one of them. And this morning, I was privileged to pray for one of our youngest kids to pray in tongues this morning, Sarah. It was a privilege. And we prayed the same prayer that Pastor Henry prayed in here. Open your mouth. So kids, if you're at home and you want that same Holy Spirit power, if you want to lay hands on the sick, if you want to walk in the same dunamis power, just say, "Holy Spirit, I want you." Open your mouth. And when you do, start to speak in tongues. And you'll know that you know He's come to you with dunamis power. Amen. Well, I will see you next week. Woo-hoo.
Thank you, Pastor Lindsay. Thank you, Pastor Lindsay. Well, praise God, church. Thanks for coming out. All you brave sausages filled with faith. So good to see you. And thank you to Dave and Kerry for being with us this week. We love you. Amen. The church multiply is at the moment in divide. Waiting for a park to open. As soon as it does, or a school, they will fire up and get going in their church. Amen. Have an awesome week. God bless you. Listen, you have to on Wednesday noon. You'll get a link. Go ahead, sign up for the service that you want to attend. Have a great Sunday. God bless you. Thank you for coming out. We love you.